Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
And this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world rankings of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Well, Squirrel, today we're going to be ranking the top 5 sitcom wives.
Coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 face-off. The actual facts. It's the top 5 face-off. The facts are exact. Top 5 face-off. Top 5 face-off. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night to the rankers. Welcome back, or if this is your first visit, welcome to the show. Squirrel, for all of the new rankers, why don't you tell them what it is we're doing here and, of course, why we're doing it?
Well, listen up, new rankers. This is the last episode of our first season. We've got 19 other episodes for you to listen to, and almost certainly you're not listening to this one in time to actually vote on it. So anyway, this is Top 5 Face-Off. We do the official world rankers of everything. Choose a topic. Top 5. Worst. Go to the site. Top5faceoff.co.uk. Vote. Winner. There you go. That's what we do, Hurst.
Gosh, you did just make it sound like the worst counts. I just want to be clear that the worst does not count.
It does not count. Just for fun.
Just for fun. Cool. So we can't get to the point, naturally. So how's the weather been?
Been sunny, Hurst. I went camping at the weekend, as you well know, as you maybe were going to come and then didn't. Very nice. And it was very sunny, Hurst, as I would demonstrate by taking off my watch. Can you see the nice line?
Yeah, a little bit. It's quite blur.
It's red as hell, Hurst.
Well done for that.
Thanks. Yep. Sunny.
Yeah, mostly good here. I'll do a bit of what's going on then. Our neighbours to the back of our house have chickens and a rooster. And it goes off, well, whenever there's light. It doesn't go off during the night. So Fonzie's got one on in there. But when we moved in, I realised there was a potential conflict of borderline feral street dogs and chickens. So I went round there, figured out which house it was down the main road, and Popton said, can you just please make sure that your fences are properly secure because I don't want my dogs coming in and eating your chickens. And they were absolutely made up that we'd come round to talk to them. So they're an Indian family and they moved here about a year and a half ago and just thought it was really unfriendly because no one came around to talk to them. No one came around to greet them. So when I came around to say, keep your chickens safe, they were made up and invited me over, sort of generic invitation for masala tea. So I followed up. On Saturday, we went round there for masala tea. They made these amazing Indian snacks. I couldn't even tell you what they're called, but they were just fried vegetables, fried in mustard oil with all of the spices and stuff. And they were so fucking delicious that it made me ache a little bit. I just scoffed so many and said, can I take the rest home in a doggy bag? And they said yes. And then they made the masala tea to go with it. That was also delicious. So bang in time, thanks to neighbours at the back. So that's been going on.
I've lived in this house. Oh, whoa. Keep going.
So, yeah, the big news is that I may not have gout, which is good and bad, because whilst not having gout is better than having gout, at least it explained why my elbows hurt so much, which they still do. But I had my second blood test, and that's where we realised that I was at relatively high risk for heart attack and stroke and stuff. So I thought, I'd make some changes. And then when the doc called earlier, I was ready for that. And he said, but good news that your uric acid's right back down to within normal levels. I was like, is it? Because my elbows still really hurt. He went, yeah, no, it's in the normal levels. It's like, so maybe I don't have gout. And he's like, maybe you should probably go and get them x-rayed. So I had my elbows x-rayed today and I guess watch this space for the beginning of season 2.
All right. What's working on Hurst coming next on Top 5 Face-Off? So, yeah, I was going to say before we got your exciting gout news, I've lived here for, I think, 14 years now in this house. Couldn't tell you my neighbours' names. Where would I want to know?
I'm me.
Sorry if you could hear me out the window.
Oh, that's the first thing I do when I move in. First thing I do, pop around, meet the neighbours. Mostly because we've got loud dogs. I want them to think I'm nice before the dogs make them think I'm not. But also, it's neighbourly, isn't it? It's useful to get to know the neighbours and find out where you're living and kind of a street it is.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Ah, that's very good, Hurst. That's some good what's been going on. What's been going on from my end, Rankers, is something you all know about, and that's the end of the podcast last week where it just shit the bed and there was just no podcast. And I sat there at 1 a.m. going, huh, well, that's irritating because I've done all the rest of it. And I thought, oh, I've nearly finished. And I'm like, wow, we must wrap up real quick this week. So, yeah, forgot about that. Sorry, Rankers, that wasn't the ending we wanted to give you. Rest assured, Hurst and I were fucking hilarious in that bit it didn't record. Probably the funniest we've ever been, right, Hurst?
Yeah, definitely. It was Spice Girls episode funny, like end to end. I'm still laughing thinking about it.
Some of our best work ever. So we're very sorry about that, Rankers. But we can assure you, no, we can't assure you, but we do hope it's not going to happen again this week. Hurst, do you know what's been gripping my shit?
What has been gripping your shit?
It's happened to me just today, Hurst. I was in my car and I was listening to the radio. And the radio show Going Home on Radio 1 is what was playing at around evening time. I guess it's for people who are going home from work.
You're too old to listen to Radio 1.
No, I'm not. It's hosted by Victoria Hope and Jamie Lang. Jamie Lang off of Made in Chelsea, you inform me, and I think you're quite correct. Yes, they did a little segment, right? And their little segment was called Draft Mode. Now, stop me if any of this sounds familiar. What they did is they spun a little wheel that had categories on, and when it landed on a category, they had to say their top three of that category, and then their listeners texted in to vote on who was correct.
What?
Yep.
That is just blatant copyright. Get the lawyers.
Plagiarism. We'll release the top five face of lawyers immediately. Malcolms, if any of you know some good, cheap, preferably free lawyers who are looking to, what can we offer them through our mighty podcast reach first?
I would say we could probably offer them a big fat L on their first case.
yes, we probably could. Yeah, so if you want to get used to losing lawyers, any lawyers listening, let us know.
Experience,
exposure. That's the word I was trying to think of.
So get some exposure.
Let us know. You've got until we come back on air to sort it out.
Can't believe that Radio 1 is copying our thing.
Unbelievable.
And that fucking Jamie Lang off of The Only Way is Chelsea, Made in Chelsea.
Or whatever it is.
God damn you. Haven't you taken enough from us?
Well, I'm not sure he's taken anything from me before, has
he? Yeah, as he's taken, like, from humanity. But that's now gripping my shit, too.
Yeah. Well, that'll save me time in the edit.
You know what's been the verbing the profanity out of my noun?
Nah, go ahead.
B&Q shitting on their reputation. Actually, everyone who just delivers subpar crap these days. So B&Q, I bought a shed from Amazon. It was cheap. It turned up. It was a pile of crap.
You shook.
After a bit of wrangling, eventually they gave me my money back and didn't even want the shed back, which is how shit it was. So I thought, I can't be dealing with this. I'll go to B&Q because that's a reliable name. So I went and bought a shed from B&Q for about 600 quid. It wasn't a big shed, but it was wooden and, you know, it's like, fine, it's B&Q.
Right.
So 11 days later, it showed up without doors. So I sat on hold for half an hour else. They passed me around and basically said, oh yeah, this is one of our partner companies fulfilled this. So We'll have to send an email and ask them to try and sort it out. So it's, you'll need to liaise with them. It's like, no, I bought it from the B&Q app. I will liaise with you. You deal with that shit.
Absolutely.
Bought from B&Q. What you did after that is not my problem.
I don't have a contract with these people. Sort it out.
Yes. So they said they send me the doors in another 11 days. I mean, they're next in the area because that's convenient for them.
Of course.
So I was pretty fuming at this point. And so I thought, right, I can still build the shed and just stick the doors on. And turned out that the base was the wrong size. So the walls and...
Excellent work.
All the walls front and back wouldn't quite clip together properly. So at that point, I gave up and said, I just want my money back. Come and take this piece of crap away. And B&Q, never darken my door again. So we'll wait and see what happens on that.
Ah, sad times. Tiger Sheds, Hurst, are quite good. They are a trusted brand name if you want a shed.
I haven't got any tigers.
No.
Ah, so not for keeping tigers in.
No. Well, I mean, you probably could.
It's a pretty niche shed, but yeah, right. I'll look it up. Tiger Sheds. All right, fine. There you go.
Make a note of that. It's not a sponsorship. We were not being paid to say that. That would have been some fucking impressive work if we were paid to say that, though.
That would have been a great little segue to bring that around.
Cool.
Right, anyway, so yeah, that's what has been gripping my shit.
Lovely.
Anything making you feel old this week?
Don't think so. No. No, I continue to be young and sprightly. Right, so for people telling me I'm not allowed to listen to Radio 1.
You're too old for Radio 1. Go to Radio 2.
Clearly not.
How did you enjoy the experience of Radio 1?
I don't like these dickheads who are on during the day. I like listening to it on Friday night for the dance party and then on Saturday night at midnight for the drum and bass show. So technically Sunday morning.
Okay. Anyway, you were present for what had been making me feel old. So I'd been at my good friend Squirrel's house for a barbecue. And the following morning, I was sitting there. I realised I was texting my mum about what was on Gardener's World this week.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Didn't you tell us that? I think I shouted at you live in person, Glenda.
You did, but I thought my rankers probably ought to know that that's what's been going on in my life. I'm now at the point in my life where I text my mum about what's going on Gardener's World.
It's not like Gardener's World was on TV at the time, rankers.
And you're friends with me, and you're the same age, except a little bit older.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm beginning to rethink that. I reckon there's some sort of weird time dilation going on up north, and you're aging faster than I am, clearly. By the time we come back with Series 2, you're going to be like 80.
I think you're just trying to hold on to your youth by listening to drum and bass on Radio 1.
I like drum and bass!
And pretending that you don't watch Gardener's World. Of course you do, mate.
All right, shall we find out what happened last week, Hurst?
Yeah, let's do it.
Got quite a few comments, but they're not very long, so we should be able to go through them pretty quick this week, Hurst.
Well played, Rankers. That's how we like it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Rankers. So here we go, Hurst. Let's start with one for me, because it was the first one to come in. Hey, guess who it was from?
Meg, how you doing?
Meg says, ooh, close one this week. I keep thinking, but what about X? And then I immediately think of five things that are actually better. I'm glad I don't have to rank these. Good point. By the way, Rankers, last week we were talking about 80s comedies, and it was very difficult. There are many, many to choose from. Anyway, Meg continues, voting for Squirrel because I prefer the Naked Gun to Airplane. From Meg98, thanks, Meg.
Shut up, Meg.
You've upset Hurst again? Never mind. Here we go. Oh, remember last time out, Hurst, when we had somebody saying they were IA. I realised that must mean Iowa in America. They have written back, and mm-hmm. They've said, hello. I am from Iowa, but feel free to call me Iowa from Iowa. So that's what we'll do. Thanks, Iowa. They go on to say, The Naked Gun is like my favorite movie. So an easy vote this week. So they voted for you, Hurst. Oh, wait, they did vote for you. Oh, God damn it. They voted for you. I said The Naked Gun, Iowa. Hurst said Airplane. God damn.
Too late. No back season.
No backsies. I notice Hurst doesn't come up with you weren't listening properly when it's to his ranking benefit.
He wasn't listening properly, but doesn't matter. No takesies backsies.
Well, there literally are no takesies backsies. You're quite right. Here we go with the next one. Both of yous have excellent lists and both even make questionable choices. The Princess Bride is excellent, but not a comedy. Come on. Blackadder is also excellent, but breaking with the spirit of the list, surely. Brackets. Don't call me Shirley. Squirrel pips it. I know we shouldn't vote based on the worst choice, but capital letters. Trading Places is a classic, Hurst. That's from Money Slinger. Oh, Money Slinger's broken the rules. Good job there's no take backs, is there, Hurst?
Oh, I can't believe Money Slinger. That is so racist.
All right. Here we go. Imagine being so right about coming to America, but so wrong about Trading Places. Boo, but yay. That's from Anon, but it is a vote for you, Hurst.
None of these people went back and watched Trading Places again.
You don't know that. Well, none of them have said they did or didn't yet. Here's a quick one for me from Kovach. Most excellent list. Thanks, Kovach. There we go. Simple. Here we go, Hurst. Inconceivable. Hurst gets the mod from me. Nod, I think they mean. Squirrel forgot the two golden rules. Never go into a land war in Asia and never pick a TV program unexpectedly. Love and kisses, Dav Pax. So Dav Pax spelled his own name wrong there. Good going, Dav Pax. You also voted for the wrong person.
Some fat finger in there. Love it.
Yes, indeed. And last one just says, boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 which I believe is the German guns from Baldrick in Blackadder. No name, that's literally all it says. Just says boom a lot. And they voted for me. Thank you very much, Anonymous Boomer. So, Hurst, what about them scores?
Well, I'm going to say because people were voting based on the worst, foolishly, and someone's saying that Princess Bride's not comedy, idiot. I'm going to say you've won it narrowly for the three-peat. To end the season.
Is narrow, Hurst. But am I the winner? Let's find out, Hurst. You got 19 votes.
Oh, spicy.
I got 21 votes, Hurst.
Oh, fuck. Rigged. They're listening to it wrong.
And rigged.
Other stuff that is sore losing.
Yeah. So there we go. That is the official list of 80s comedies, and they are, to remind you all, at number 5, The Blues Brothers, then Ghostbusters, Blackadder, then The Naked Gun, finally at number 1, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. It is official. We need an It Is Official jingle.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, I can just pull an official world ranking out of the theme tune. There you are, I've done it. Don't worry about it. Right. I'll test it now. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide. Maybe it'll sound good. We'll find out. Right. Should we rank some things this week, Hurst?
Let's do it.
Holding the coin of destiny, not decision. I wasn't going to say that. Coin of destiny. Heads for Hurst. Squirrels have tails. Are you ready, Hurst?
Flip it.
Oh, fuck. It's gone right over here. Okay, I'm getting close to my mic to see it. It's heads for Hurst. It is heads for Hurst.
Right. For me, in at number 5 is Sharon Marsh off of South Park, voiced by April Stewart, Randy's wife, the calm in the storm of Randy Marsh's relentless chaos most of the time. So Sharon is the voice of reason in a town where reason is in very short supply. She's seen it all, spontaneous moustaches, fighting cancer mascots, Randy's many public meltdowns, time when he was bouncing around on his balls so he could smoke marijuana, buy integrity funds. I mean, everything Randy does is just extreme and hilarious, but Sharon just deals with it magnificently, like the proverbial swan, paddling like crazy but looking serene at the top. She's not loud, she's not flashy, she's not prone to any sitcom theatrics, but when she finally snaps, you feel it in your bones. She does occasionally lose it with Randy, as she should. Quote, like, Randy, you're acting like a child, come up regularly, and why is it every time something happens, you're involved? It was a difficult list. There were many to put on, but I felt Sharon just needed the nod in at number 5.
There you are. Yes, excellent choice. I feel we should point out to the rankers why the hell we're talking about sitcom wives. It's because sitcom wives are a weird thing. The star of the show is nearly always the man. They're nearly always some ugly stand-up dude married to some smoking hot, really, really patient and forgiving lady who puts up with all the crap they do. And we would all like to be married to these people. Just like real life. So here we are ranking the best ones. And there we are. Sharon, excellent number 5. My number 5, Hurst, is Sybil Fawlty from Fawlty Towers. Ooh. Played by Prunella Scales back in 75, 76, 77, whenever it was. She was less standing in the background. She just basically stopped all of the shit with like 4 words most of the time. You knew who owned that fucking hotel. Basil may have managed it, but she was the fucking owner, and she made sure he knew about it, right? I won't talk about her for too long because she's my number 5, but I thought she was brilliant. She took no shit. You'll notice that will be a common theme throughout my list. And she put the idiot man in his place. And of course, she was a very attractive lady, even though John Cleese was actually married to the lady that played Polly, right? Connie Booth, the much younger lady, was actually his wife in real life. But they didn't think anyone would believe it on TV, which was really must have been really nice for the producers to say to Tom Cleese, right?
John Cleese.
What did I say?
Tom Cleese.
Tom Cleese. Well, you see, originally the part of Basil Fawlty was going to be open to Tom Cruise, but he was busy probably not being alive. No, he was alive, but he was probably like 10 years old.
Yeah, I love Sybil Fawlty. She was definitely troubling my lift.
Troubling your lift? Was she pressing all the buttons? This week's regular feature, Hurst, is What's She Doing Now? And, well, Prunella Scales is 91, so not a great deal, but maybe more than you'd think. She recently recorded a video for a production about Queen Victoria at the Edinburgh Fringe, because she used to play Queen Victoria a lot when she was younger on a stage show. She is having some trouble with dementia, which is very sad, but still making special appearances when she can. So good old Prunella Scales, keep it up. Number 5, Sybil Fawlty.
Excellent. Good choice. Decided to put it at my number 4, a classic divisive one for, you know, keeping up to the standard I've set myself. So number four, I have Pam Beasley-Halpert from the US Office, played by Jenna Fischer. People who love The Office will almost certainly love the whole romance that happens with Pam and Jim. So she starts the series as the quiet receptionist with a secret crush, although she's engaged to some knob in the warehouse. But over the seasons, she becomes the beating heart of the office, to the point where she makes up the job of office administrator for herself and makes it official, which is genius. The master of knowing glances to the camera. Her and Jim both do that very well. And the slow burn pranks that she does with Jim to their amusement of baiting Dwight. And she's also the gentle but firm no to Michael's everything that Michael does, basically. The whole relationship development with her and Jim is lovely. It's really beautifully crafted and like 100 levels less annoying, the whole Ross and Rachel thing. I mean, you're legitimately rooting for them rather than hoping they both get run over on the way home. That is genuinely a good romance, but it also allows for that amazing contrast of the true relationship in that show, which is the bromance slash hatred between Jim and Dwight, allowing that to play ludicrously out throughout the series. And it all just ends so beautifully. I love the US Office. And Jenna Fischer, who is a very beautiful woman, does an excellent job of being quite understated and cardigan wearing. The actors, John Krasinski, Jenna Fischer, obviously very beautiful people, but they managed to play kind of ordinary people really nicely in the office, to the fact that you don't sit there and go, wow, they're hot the whole way through, which allows you to focus on it. So yeah, it is nice that neither of them is that, as you described, ugly old man dating a woman way out of her league, although I'm sure we will come back to more of that. So for me, number four, Pam Beasley-Halpert from the US Office.
Yeah, we are going after that Iowa vote this week, huh?
If they like The Office, I'm well in.
Although be careful, Hurst, because of course they liked The Naked Gun, but they voted for you by accident. So maybe because they like The Office, Iowa, check who you're voting for.
Yeah, check that you're voting for the right person if you like The Office.
Good point. Well, Hurst, you may think I've been a bit cheaty with my number four because I've chosen two people. And you'll see why in just a second, because I've picked Vivian Banks from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Famously, of course, played by two people, Janet Hubert for the first three seasons and then Daphne Maxwell-Reed for the remaining three seasons of the show. Aunt Viv, right? Everyone our age, they'd come home from school. I believe it was a Monday night on BBC Two, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Aunt Viv put up with Uncle Phil, put up with Will more than anything, put up with piss-annoying Carlton, who honestly just needed to be banged against the wall four or five times. But she was just so incredibly graceful, especially First Aunt Viv, who is my favourite Aunt Viv. First Aunt Viv was an incredibly graceful woman, obviously very attractive lady, incredibly maternal whilst wearing finery and jewellery and just looking fantastic. But you always well aware that she was the family mum. And she was smart. She was bastard smart. She went and kind of taught at schools sometime or at the college once about American black history. And it was fantastic episode, that one. And she can kind of give you a lecture or suddenly just burst into a flawless dance routine and do the splits. What is happening in this show? Both portrayals of Aunt Viv were very good. Obviously, the recasting moment was very famous in all the papers, especially in America. There were issues that Will Smith had with Janet Hubert, the first Aunt Viv, even though I believe they have made up now and they are quite good friends. So that is good, I guess. What are they doing now? Well, Janet Hubert, the first Aunt Viv, is in General Hospital and doing convention appearances and stuff like that. And Daphne Maxwell-Reed is now a photographer, author, designer, and conference speaker. There you go. She's got a cookbook out as well, if you fancy seeing what Aunt Viv number two would have for dinner. Number four, Vivian Banks.
Fair play. My number three, we want to talk about the ultimate original, well, maybe not original, but certainly the ultimate long-suffering sitcom wife, who is beautiful and elegant and runs the house whilst stupid, knob, fat, annoying husband gets up to ridiculous antics. I've literally just described about 100 different sitcoms.
Yeah, you have, but I reckon I know which one you've chosen.
Marge Simpson from The Simpsons, voiced by Julie Kavner. Equal parts moral compass, crisis manager, and just the bluehead bastion of patience. Forgives Homer for everything, including nuclear meltdowns, all his crazy schemes, the monorail investments, his inexplicable friendships with Mr. Burns. And she still raises three kids, plus the hair, man. Just brilliant. I'm not going to go on People Know Marge. There are too many episodes to start looking at quotes for us. Like, she had to be in there because she is just such an outstanding wife. Yay, Marge.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I knew who you were going to say kind of immediately as you started talking about how absolutely worthless the husband was. I think that is perhaps the epitome of useless husband to very efficient wife.
Squirrel here. Did I just say epitome instead of epitome? The fuck?
But maybe not. The list shall continue because she was only at your number three, of course.
Indeed.
My number three, I was about to say my number three is going back a bit further, but of course it isn't because The Simpsons been on telly for literally ever. So my number three is not going back a bit further at all. My number three is actually from 2001 to 2010. That is Jordan Sullivan from Scrubs. She was Dr. Cox's wife. Dr. Cox's ex-wife, even though they were living together. Weird. They were incredible. And she was incredible. She was played by Christina Miller. She was another person who took absolutely zero shit whatsoever. From this time, a very, very competent and brutally honest slash sarcastic doctor in Dr. Cox. One of the best characters ever, ever, ever. Jordan is his wife, and she's more him than he is in a lot of ways. And you're like, yes, this is what I want to see. You know, savage one-liners, constant put down. But then just sometimes underneath everything, like genuine affection for her family and friends. And exceptionally funny and exceptionally hot. Goodness me. She was actually married to the person who created Scrubs, a guy called Bill Lawrence. And he wrote the role specifically for her because it's his bloody show. And if he wants to put his wife in it looking smoking hot,
because he could.
He's going to. Correct. What's she doing now? She's in a TV show called Shrinking on Apple TV Plus. All right. Maybe I'll watch it.
So, was she a wife at any point in the show?
Yes. So they were divorced at the beginning of the show. And then they realized that actually they weren't divorced because something was wrong with the divorce. So they're actually still married. But that didn't work out for them at all. So they got divorced again. And then they were all happy again. But they lived together and did the sex and stuff like that.
Okay. Just checking. Just needs cool. to be accurate for our list. Mm. It's important. These are the official world rank.
This is true. Oh, no, she was absolutely his wife.
Cool. Okay. So for my number two, I have gone for what I believe is the absolute pinnacle of hot wifery.
Ooh.
To me, probably one of the most beautiful women in the whole world. Sofia Vergara playing Gloria Pritchett in Modern Family. She is the ultimate trophy wife. It is such as Jay is an old rich businessman and he has managed to woo this Colombian firecracker. She is basically just a firework in high heels. She's part doting wife, part hand grenade. So hot that if you stare at her directly, you will burn your retina. But also at the same time, the absolute antithesis of the wilting violet trophy wife. She's not that kind of doting, oh yes, no, I need to go shopping. She is basically in charge of that whole family and takes no nonsense. She's absolutely hilarious. She's outrageously ballsy, aggressive even, but funnels the same energy into loving the family. In one Halloween incident, she's chasing teenagers down the street screaming, "You put egg on my house! I kill what you love!" so brutal. She's just got brilliant quotes. And because Spanish is her first language, they use it. At one point, she says, "I'm really smart in Spanish." These sayings from, like, so she says, "It's a doggy dog world." A doggy dog world, which is brilliant. Another great quote from Gloria: "In my country, it's considered very, very bad luck when your house burns down." She also had another was like, "In my country, there is a saying that means love is just around the corner. I come from a neighborhood with a lot of prostitutes." So she's come from this really rough background and she's hard as nails, but she is also just, she's just a brilliant character. She could easily be offensive and just in there as pure eye candy, but she's not. She's probably the funniest character in the whole show. And it is a brilliant show. I love Modern Family. So she was easy in on the list. It's just between her and one other. To get the number one, she just missed out, but love Gloria, love Sofia Vergara.
No, excellent choice. I would say I had nothing to add, but at my number two, I have Gloria Pritchett from Modern Family. Finishing series one with the horns. Excellent. No, you're not wrong in anything you say. The one thing I will add is, to me, my favorite part of her and Jay's marriage. So like you said, and this is important to understand, she is absolute smoke show and he is old and rich, but many times throughout the series You'll see that that never mattered to her. Like, she married Jay because she loved him. It's that simple. She didn't marry him for his money. She didn't marry him to get out of Colombia. She married him because she loved him. And he married her despite what she looked like. Wait, no, not despite what she looked like. You know what I'm trying to say? He married her without caring so much about what she looked like. Let's all face it. What a bonus that must be. But they talk about how they met and they were facing away from each other at the time. And he decided, I'm going to ask this woman out before he'd even seen her just by listening to her talk. Ah, brilliant. No, love her. She was great. Obviously gorgeous. What's she doing now? She's a judge on America's Got Talent and she guest judges Project Runway, which I think is a fashion show in the States. And she is on a Netflix show called Griselda.
There you go. I thought Project Runway was a reality show where they train air traffic controllers, isn't it?
Oh, maybe it is. Maybe she's really good at that too. That would make sense. She is the highest paid actress on American television. So, you know, probably really knows how to fly a plane apparently. So.
Great choice.
Mm. Great choice. Great. You too, my friend.
So now we are going to go and dip our toe in the world of the worst.
This was tricky, I thought, Hurst. It felt a bit mean because these women are already putting up with so much crap. Now they've got to put up with crap from two balding white men from the internet.
I'm comfortable with my decision.
I'm pretty comfortable with mine. Once I realized, I was like, oh, yes, no, this is fine.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's the same one, because this sitcom wife was not the bastion of calm. She was the high-maintenance awfulness that was Maris Crane, a wife so infamously awful that she never even appears on screen. Every description paints her as a skeletal, high-maintenance, frostbitten socialite with a diet that makes celery look decadent. Maris isn't just bad, she is the idea of bad distilled into a walking ice sculpture that somehow manages to haunt every room that she's never in. Quotes about Maris, because obviously she's not in the show ever, so she doesn't have any of her own. Maris only eats food that's been fanned by peacock feather. She's like the wind, cold and liable to knock something over. Maris won't come. She's allergic to laughter. Maris just makes Niles' life an absolute misery for the whole time that they're together and is a deserving, because I'm not offending anyone either, because she's never in the show. She's just a concept, but she is the worst.
Yes, excellent choice. I'm quite pleased people don't vote based on the worst, because that's better than mine, because I forgot about Maris. The show Hurst is talking about is called Frasier, which he neglected to mention, but I'm sure you all knew that.
Yes, yeah, quite.
Excellent, excellent.
Maris Crane from the show Frasier.
Mm, good one. My worst was just a hateful ball of hate, which was Roseanne Connor from Roseanne. Not your typical sitcom wife, because she was, of course, the star of the show, but still technically a sitcom wife. So I'm having it. She's played by Roseanne Barr, who, for all intents and purposes, is a racist. I'll put my beeper in there. And a right-wing lunatic. And she can fuck off and do one. There you go. Roseanne Barr, hateful. I mean, Roseanne Connor, also hateful.
Fair play.
All right. Well, then go on, Hurst. It is time for your numero uno, as Gloria would no doubt say in a much better accent.
For me, my number one is Pam Shipman from Gavin and Stacey, played by Alison Steadman. Now, I know you haven't watched Gavin and Stacey because of your disdain for James Corden.
Correct.
But it is brilliant in spite of him. And the character he plays is, you can see James Corden in it, but it's just the whole thing is brilliant. But Pam is the mother of Gavin, one of the title characters. And she is the quintessential Essex wife. She's the glamorous housewife, party ready, more than happy to entertain at the drop of a hat, and hands down the funniest character in a brilliantly witty and relatable comedy. She has incredible chemistry with on-screen husband Larry Lamb, or Mick, who's played by Larry Lamb. It's so authentic. And with him as her foil, she's the dramatic one and he's the steady one. But they work. It doesn't look like, well, that's just set out for laughs. That's the kind of relationship where you definitely know they absolutely love each other. And his patience is probably the main reason why it lasts. Basically, she steals the show every time she's on screen, but somehow, in spite of it, she does it without detracting from or stealing focus from the rest of the cast. The funny thing is, Alison Steadman, when you listen to her being interviewed, has a very posh accent. In Gavin and Stacey, she plays full-on Essex housewife, and she does it perfectly. In fact, when you hear her interview talking about Gavin and Stacey, it messes your brain up a little bit. It's little things like, so most of Pam's friends have got nicknames that are mentioned throughout the show. So she's got Big Fat Sue, Japanese Margaret, Fat No More Pat, and No Man Jan. But it doesn't. It just feels like, yeah, that's exactly the kind of friend she would have. But her real genius is her ability to be confidently stupid, but also be able to laugh at herself. So she, a bit like Gloria, is prone to the malapropisms. So she says things like Barry's Island instead of Barry Island. And she says, well, Mick, ours is not to question why. It's question why, Pam. It's like, is it? So she gets all those wrong. Her theatrics, like her war cry is like, oh my Christ, old you and me are going to fall out today, Mick. She's like, it's not living in Hollyoaks. Then things like the occasional long-term lie, the on-running joke of the show. She pretends to be a vegetarian because she realizes that she hasn't catered for vegetarians and panics just in case someone's a vegetarian, and then pretends for another show to be a vegetarian. And that's where I'm going to switch you to some of her YouTube best bits. So we're going to try, for the sake of the show, to make this work. So this bit is from when she's getting busted as a vegetarian.
All right.
Hanging by a very thin thread, young man.
Pam, are you really a vegetarian?
Yes!
Because I've seen you, Pam.
What do you mean?
A Scotch egg, yeah. Bit of bacon there. Putting those regular sausages in the Linda McCartney box. I didn't want to say nothing.
Do you think ill of me, my child?
No, of course not.
It's just, I get these cravings, you know? I had 4 cheeseburgers the other day with Big Fat Sue. We ate them in a car wash.
Don't beat yourself up, Pam.
Promise me, thou shalt speak of this to no one.
What are you on about?
Swear it. Forsake me not.
But these are all the others.
What are you smiling at?
It's all the drama, Mick. I just love it.
Oh, come here, you two. I've missed you.
Mum, are you drunk?
No, not drunk, but I have had some wines.
Why don't I just ring him and find out?
And how stupid do you think that's going to make me look, Gavin? When those poor vegetarians realise I wasn't thinking about them when I was planning my menu. All I was thinking about was slaughtering animals and wrapping them in pastry, because that's what they'll think.
Mum.
Mick, what are you still doing here?
Oh, shit's a brick.
Nurse. Right, Mick. We need hot water, flannels.
Calm down. We're in a hospital.
I'm not being funny, Stacey, but you want to get a life. What you said just now was really boring.
So you really want me to move those...
So there you go, just getting a little taste of the the joy that is Pam. I don't know how to stop sharing now.
Find it. There you go.
That was easy. So that was just an onslaught of Pam, but she's like that the whole way through. Just hilarious, and not in a trying to be funny way, just in a brilliant character, excellently brought to life. All the best quotes are in there. Not drunk, but I have had some wines. Yeah, she's fab. There's so much to love there. And in spite of your hatred of James Corden, I highly recommend you watch Gavin and Stacey, because it's genius.
Well, I've got time to watch TV. I don't know. Give me a fact, an estimated fact that I've got time for.
Okay, I can do that for you. As you have just seen, Pam pretends to be a vegetarian. And actually, for the eagle-eyed, Pam keeps a vegetarian cookbook in the kitchen purely as a decoy, which can be seen in the bookshelf by the fruit bowl. Fact. Alison Steadman is one of only a handful of actors who appears in both the very first and very last scenes in Gavin and Stacey.
She's the lady that plays Pam, right? Phil. What was that lady's name?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Pam, yeah. Pamela.
I'm going to go with the latter. I think she was in the first scene, and I think she was in the last scene.
The fact is, Alison Steadman is one of a handful of actors who appear in the first and last scenes in Gavin and Stacey.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, girl, on a run.
Finishing it off with a
like
win
a
on...
of facts
I,
as well.
I don't know. I don't keep up with this shit. I barely know what we did last week.
I win so much I don't even notice anymore.
It just comes so naturally to me now. No, I do know.
I'm so bored of winning.
I think I got it right last week.
So who's your number one then, mate?
My number one. Even though we did just talk about Gloria Pritchard, I think my number one is even further removed and out of her man's league than that. And that is saying something, because I don't care who you are, Gloria Pritchard is out of your league.
Yes, quite.
However, my number one is Lois Griffin from Family Guy.
Fair enough. I take that.
Lois is basically very similar to Marge in the sense that the Family Guy show is very similar to The Simpsons. She is voiced by Alex Borstein in a show that has run for 26 years, Hurst. Family Guy has been around for a while, very much keeps the Griffin household together, like many of the ladies on our sitcom wives list. But the difference between Lois and the others, why she's my number one, is because she's really smart. She doesn't take any shit. We've noticed that my list has a lot of that. And absolute sex hound, Hurst.
Yeah, she's a day bitch. She loves it.
It's basically it. Just filth. And that has got her the number one spot. Being ridiculously in-universe hot, even though she looks the same as her daughter, who is in-universe ugly. Who knows what that about? Probably the red hair. Red hair beats everything. Yeah. Dirty old Lois Griffin. Number one. Come at me, haters. It's the end of the series. We can do cancel me.
I also love the fact that she's obviously a sex hound, and with Quagmire being an actual sex pest, sex addict, and wanting Lois so badly all the way through it, it's just everyone fancies Lois, and Peter doesn't even notice because he's too busy being self-indulgent.
Absolute moron.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
Would you like a FEF, which is what I'm calling fact and estimated fact this week?
Yeah, FEF me.
Faith, you gotta have faith, bam, bam. Well, look, I'm
just
getting
rid of the, just go feff. Feff me, dude.
All right, here we go. Fact, Lois was originally going to have yellow hair in the exact same shade as the Simpsons skin in a come-at-us nod to Matt Groening. Or fact, Lois started out speaking very slowly and gradually becomes faster and faster and faster because Seth MacFarlane kept giving her more to say because he liked it, and Alex Borstein had to speed up so she could fit it into the episode.
I think it's the second one, because I remember hearing, like, when you go back and listen to some of the early ones, everyone seems a bit slower. And in fact, I even watched an interview, I think it was one of the, like, Graham Norton's with Seth MacFarlane or something, and he was on it with Seth Green, who does Chris's voice, and he was saying about all of the characters, their voices kind of went up and up and up over it, and I think they got faster as well. I'm going to go with the second one.
You're entirely correct, Hurst. Their voice started out very slow, but gradually becomes faster and faster in later episodes so they can say more stuff. Congratulations, we both win at the final fact and estimated fact of season one.
What a way to go out.
Yes. Well, and also an excellent way to go out is me forgetting to say what she's doing now after doing that of all the others. So what she's doing now is she's just finished playing... I haven't got the name of the character. She just finished being in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I think wrapped a year or so ago, and she obviously still works on Family Guy, which is still going. She's a stand-up comic, and her firsty tour is currently in Barcelona. So what are your rankers? There are our lists. I hope you enjoyed them. You do still get to vote. You can vote for the next week after you hear this. Top5faceoff.co.uk. We're not going to spin the wheel this week. We're going to spin the wheel slightly before we come back from our end of season break. We haven't actually discussed when that might be yet. Hurst is definitely jetting off to America. We know that for sure. So it will be sometime after that. And when is that when you get back, Hurst?
1st of October.
All right. So safe to say sometime in October we will be back, Hurst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not sure there's much else left to say, rankers.
Yeah, by all means, send us any of your ideas for new bits. We're going to revamp the show a little bit for season 2. So if you've got any ideas, send them to us and we'll take them as our own.
Send us your feedback and criticism as well, rankers. This show is obviously for you. So if we do something you don't like, or if we don't do enough of something you do like, let us know so we can go, oh, people like that bit? Okay. So-
yeah. So we've got to keep talking about the weather. God damn.
God damn. You can send us any feedback. hello@top5faceoff.co.uk by email. You can come visit us on Facebook. We are Top 5 Face Off. We have a Blue Sky account, which I occasionally check. And that's Top 5 Face Off as well. Don't forget to vote if you listen to this in time. Top5faceoff.co.uk. And thank you very much.
Yeah.
For listening to all of this toss. 20 episodes, Hurst.
Yeah. I'll just do a quick shout out to our official supporter hub, quickly.
Yes, indeed. That is Kovach and Dav Pax, he calls himself. Ooh, important note, Patreons. While we are off the air, I will be pausing your subscription so you won't have to pay us while we're not actually producing any content, because we don't think that's right. No one else does that. Just us.
Yeah. Are we going to go under?
Well, no, because we won't be paying for anything either. It's actually going to save us money.
So were we going to give away another official supporter hub thing for someone who shared us on their site, or did that not happen?
We were doing that. We'll give them across the season break. Give them plenty of time to get new rankers to listen to our past episodes. Oh, yeah, I want me some of that hot ranking action.
Like it.
I've always heard. I think we are all done.
I'm it. Happy and sad times. It's the end of season wrap party, which means it's 9:15 and I'm going to bed.
It's 9:15. I'm going to go cook myself some dinner. Thank you so much for listening, Rankers. Thank you to everybody that listened, voted, commented, emailed us, told us we were shit. We appreciate you all.
Yeah, it's been a blast. Thanks for tuning in, Rankers. We love you.
And remember, vote squirrel. Please rewind this podcast for the next person to come along, and we will see you in the future. Keep an eye on our socials. We'll let you know where.
You don't need to remind them to vote squirrel. You know that,
right? See you, Rankers.
See you later. Love you.
Top 5 Face-Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Squirrel here. Headphone users, look out. You've been warned.
Happy days. We're about to get a Fonzie yell. He wants to get out.
Jesus. Especially first Aunt Viv, who is my favourite Aunt Viv, because she's my first Aunt Viv, if you see what I mean. I think people that watch the second half of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air first are probably going to prefer the second Aunt Viv. I'm talking absolute shite, but I'm going to keep going. First Aunt Viv was my first Aunt Viv, so she's my favourite Aunt Viv. But if second Aunt Viv was your first Aunt Viv, that's going to be your favourite Aunt Viv. Got it? Good. Let's carry on. Yay! 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 Oh, God. She's like a foghorn.
I thought you had a parrot.
Yes, with that parrot constantly screeching, yes.
Yeah.
Is there a wind chime outside your house, Thurst?
There is. Shall I again?
Get
it. Put it down.
Oh, if you can. Oh, shit.